Steve Dale's Other World on WGN. It's 2:37. And once again, I am honored and privileged to have on the phone with me Dr. Richard Novak, head of the Moderna trial. Dr. Novak, I almost don't know where to start, so I'll just jump into it if we can. One question that I get from people, including from me, and by the way, these questions are some from me, some from you. You can also text or email right now, 312-981-7200. The Omicron variant, why is it called that? Do you have any idea?
Well, they decided to name the viruses after the letters in the Greek alphabet, and so they skipped a couple just to avoid confusion. They went from the mu variant directly to the Omicron variant. I've been corrected several times to say Omicron by my Greek colleagues.
So which is it, Omicron? Is that the proper pronunciation?
I think so, Omicron.
Omicron, all right. All right, interview over, that's all we need to know. No, we need to know much more than that. All right, so not a surprise, coronaviruses mutate, they change. This one had so many changes in what I believe is called the S gene, the spike protein. Do we know today, right now, that we need to be concerned regarding either your vaccine, the Moderna vaccine, the Pfizer vaccine, the J&J vaccine, and its effectiveness?
Yes, I think we do need to be concerned. I think that there's pretty solid evidence that natural infection does not, with the previous variants, does not protect against this variant. And there have already been a number of breakthrough cases in people who are vaccinated. The good news is it seems to so far be associated with milder disease. And so it could be that having pre-existing immunity at least protects you from having severe illness. But it's likely that the vaccines, although they'll work partially, they weren't designed against this virus. And the virus has evolved some immune escape, is what we call it.
Is this virus in some ways a completely different animal? And I use the word animal on purpose, because one theory is that either in any kind of animal, who the heck knows? I mean, right now we have deer, white-tailed deer of all animals. That's not an animal most of us live within our homes and have a close association with, but yet white-tailed deer in many states, including this one, have been tested positive for COVID-19. They don't seem to suffer any illness from it, but could it have mutated yet again, if that's the way it happened the first time, in an animal and then come back to us? And that is why the spike protein has changed so much.
Yeah, it's unlikely that it came from an animal. I mean, it certainly it can, as you pointed out, it can infect some animals. But what's more concerning for us is that it's evolving within humans. So it's becoming better at infecting humans. And so this isolate, this variant, is most likely from a human source.
All right, so we've got this completely different isolate, as you said. Could it be, here's my Steve Dale thinking, just by what I learned more years ago than I want to tell you in college about all this stuff, that it may be more infectious, infecting more people, but less virulent, less likely to make us sick. And here's why I'm asking that. Because I think ultimately that will happen. The question is it going to happen sooner or later? Is it going to be 500 years from now that this happens? Or is it going to be really, really soon, potentially? Or maybe this is happening right now? Because the virus cannot continue to thrive if people die who have the virus. So the virus, of course, doesn't really have a brain. It's not even really a living thing. But if the virus could think, the virus would think, oh, I want to survive. And that can't happen when people die who have the virus. So therefore, over time, question is how much time, that over time, people are going to get less and less sick, combined with the fact that our bodies may be more acclimated naturally. And I'm not knocking the vaccines by any means here, but naturally to fight this off. Did what I just say make any sense?
Well, I mean, viruses do follow a certain pattern of evolution, and what occurred initially when SARS-CoV-2 entered the human population from animals was that the virus was completely new to us, so we had absolutely no defenses against it, and so it spread very rapidly. It evolved, and what drove its evolution was just whichever virus could grow more efficiently or infect us more rapidly became the dominant virus. And so the early variants that we saw were ones who were just better at infecting us. As time goes on and more of the population develops immunity because they've been infected before, and also because we're vaccinating a lot of the population, what's driving evolution more now may also include immune escape. So the virus has become more effective at evading our immune system. But as you pointed out, we're developing immunity to the virus because a substantial portion of the world population now has been exposed, and more are getting exposed, and a lot of people have been vaccinated. So while these viruses that are coming now, like the Omicron variant, are better at infecting people who have already seen the other variants or people who are vaccinated, doesn't so far seem to cause severe illness. And, you know, we have other coronaviruses that we consider to cause common cold. Those actually originated in animals.
Yes.
Probably about 300 years ago. And they probably were more severe diseases early on, and they've evolved to be just cold viruses. So we may see that over time. I don't know if it's going to take centuries or decades or even just months. Who knows? But we know too little about the Omicron variant right now to make a lot of, most of it's conjecture at this point.
So in essence, you're saying the theory is right, but we may have to wait 300 years for it. I don't know that I like that. I plan to be around for a while, doctor, but I'm not sure about 300 years necessarily. So question here about the vaccines. Will you, and I know the Pfizer CEO has been in the media saying, we are going to provide an adjusted vaccine either sooner or later whenever it is needed. Same for Moderna? And if so, what's the time frame?
Too soon to know the time frame, but they've already announced that they're going to start working on a booster for the variant. So
now, if you how many boosters can we get? So, and I'm, you know, you've gotten to know me a little bit. I'm all for the vaccines. I have been very, very supportive on the radio about that. But my question is, all right, if you're one of the mRNA vaccines, you've been vaccinated twice, we hope. In addition, perhaps, and again, we hope, you've had the booster for that. At what point in time would we get the next booster, which would be targeted maybe for Omicron and maybe for some other things as well?
Well, definitely too soon to say on that. If you think about how we deal with the influenza, which is seasonal, we have to have a different vaccine every year, and it may turn out that that's what's going to happen with us. I'm quite convinced it's with us for the duration now. It's becoming an endemic virus, and it's going to be around for the foreseeable future, and so we'll have to, you can anticipate there will be other variants, and we'll have to continue to adjust our vaccine responses to those. But people shouldn't think, well, the vaccine doesn't work, so I'm not going to take it. It does work. It gives some protection. Even if it makes the disease change it from a severe illness to a mild illness, that's a huge benefit of the vaccine. And it's even more reason to get vaccinated, frankly.
Of course, lots of questions on our telephone lines, 312-981-7200. You could text if you prefer to do that. Dr. Richard Novak is here, head of the Moderna trial on WGN. Talking to Dr. Richard Novak on WGN at 2:50, 10 minutes before 3. about the Omicron variant and SARS coronavirus in general, COVID-19. And Dr. Novak, before we get to a phone call or two, about the booster shots, it seems there's been some confusion from the CDC, meaning to or not, probably not, but who gets it? Should everybody now line up?
Yeah, they're recommending it now for pretty much everybody.
And do you agree with that?
I do, particularly in light of the Omicron variant and its rapid spread. People need to boost their immunity. We don't know yet how effective that's going to be, but it's worked very well against Delta, and more immunity can only help to better control this one as well as it spreads.
So there we were at a conference in San Diego, and then come back to the airport in San Diego. We're in the United room, and there's this guy with a big beard. I'll explain what the big beard has to do with this in a second. Not wearing a mask, sitting in the United room going, and we did actually go up to someone and say, I think he should have a mask on, which he did eventually put on, but then he had such a big beard, there's no way the mask could do what it was supposed to do anyway. Should we simply be mandating vaccines for travelers? Instead, the government has said, no, we're gonna come down on testing a little bit. It's not 3 days in advance. Now it's 24 hours in advance. That's okay, but why not just look for proof of vaccination?
Yeah, well, I agree with that, and it's probably going to be not just two doses, but three doses is what's going to have to be mandated. I'm fully in favor of vaccine mandates. Might not be popular with everybody, but we're dealing with a public health emergency, and it's really not a political issue. We've had vaccine mandates before for other diseases, and we've got ample evidence that these vaccines are safe and effective. We should be mandating for travel, for people getting on planes, for people going into large public venues. And look what happened at that big anime thing, event in New York. I mean, 50,000 people in the same space.
But I will say, so in New York, I was at an event there and at the same place, the Jacob Javits Center. And I will tell you, they were very careful, very careful. Not only did they look at your vaccine or proof of vaccine, they looked at your name, compared it, make sure it was you. They were really, really checking. So how effective is that checking? I will say I felt safer, sort of, in New York City than I did Chicago. But Chicago, except for the theater community, the restaurant community has not stepped up and said, you cannot come into our restaurant unless you show proof of vaccination. There are individual restaurants and bars that are doing that. In New York, everybody has to do that, and they are doing that, and their numbers are better than ours, coincidence or not. How do you feel about that?
I agree with that, with you, that they should be checking everywhere. I mean, this is routine now throughout Europe, and they have apps to verify who you are and that your vaccine, when you enter the country, these countries of Europe, they check your vaccine status, and it's right away entered into a system that can then be accessed by everybody when they're checking your information, so that they can verify that you're truly vaccinated. And it's seamless, and it works very well. I mean, we should be, I think it's a no-brainer that we should be doing that. And sure, you can't block everything. I mean, the other problem with the anime festival, though, is that at 50,000 people crammed into the same space, we still need to be wearing masks and socially distancing to some extent. As we've been talking about, we've got a new variant. It's breaking through our immune defenses, and we need to rely on our other tools, such as masking and social distancing, still.
All right, we have about a minute left here, a little less than that, Steve. So go ahead and ask your question to Dr. Novak.
Thank you very much. Dr. Novak, quick question. I'm scheduled to have my booster shot on Tuesday. The two first shots I got were Pfizer, but they allow you to mix and match. And I've actually heard there's an advantage to having Moderna be the booster, and then it's only a half dose. Are all those things true?
So
thank you, Steve.
And if you boost an RNA vaccine with the same or a different RNA vaccine, you get a very similar result. The RNA vaccines are generally much more effective than the Johnson & Johnson vaccine or other vector vaccines. So you can mix and match. You can get another Pfizer dose. Pfizer is 30 micrograms, and even though it's a half dose from Moderna, it's 50 micrograms, and that might be why Moderna's a little bit better.
All right, very quickly, David, and Dr. Novak, the answer has to be fast, too. Go ahead, David.
Okay, question is, how about the Swiss are counting in their vaccine passport recovery from COVID. I was wondering, why can't that be taken into account?
Well, unfortunately, a prior infection with COVID has been shown to have no protection against the Omicron variant. It's good to know that, and if you get vaccinated on top of having a prior infection, you actually get really good immunity. So it's good to keep track of that, but it's not going to protect you from Omicron.
Dr. Novak, as always, I thank you so very much, and if you don't mind, we'll be calling you every 30 minutes or so for updates. Thank you. Dr. Richard Novak, who is in charge of the Moderna trial, has given up several Sunday afternoons for us.